Our NBA columnist from Yahoo Sports, one of the all-time best. Here he is, Mr. Adrian Wojnarowski. Adrian, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. That's DJ Adrian. DJ Jazzy.
Hold on, DJ A-Dub.
Fresh Prince. I couldn't believe Will Smith thought he could be an actor. I thought he was going to be a rapper forever. He was great.
And he's turned out to be a pretty good actor.
He did turn out to be a pretty good actor. Absolutely. He was huge when I was younger.
Don't date yourself. That's right, Woj. Don't do that. Hey, looking around the NBA right now, I'm really curious to get your take on who the buyers are going to be and who the sellers are going to be. And you know, we're looking at the trade deadline coming up here in 2 weeks from today. You know, obviously there's some significant teams that maybe feel like they're one piece away, and then there's some other teams on the other end that are looking to just get out of town. Who are the few big buyers, and who are going to be a few of the big sellers?
Well, I mean, in terms of buyers, I think there's really only two teams that everybody know will add salary. Just, you know, and that's Dallas and Cleveland. And everybody else, while other teams may try to improve and make a deal, I don't know that there's teams who are going to just, you know, take on significantly more money. I think there's really two teams. And you have a league, you talk to GMs, and it's mostly a league of sellers, people trying to get money off. And the problem is there's no one to take it from them. So, you know, you have to find someone who will take it. And they're really, you know, there's just a couple. So there's plenty of teams who want to get out from under big contracts. Philadelphia, you know, Philadelphia would love to get rid of Elton Brand, but they can't. They can't move him right now with his contract. And so they may have to move Iguodala because that's the only way they can get some flexibility. They've been trying to move Sam Dallenberg forever. So, you know, there's teams who, there's certainly plenty of teams who are trying to get money off. Problem is there's no one to take it from them.
Adrian, we keep hearing, it seems like almost on a weekly basis, Amari Stoudemire staying or going. What's your gut? Is he going to be still in a Suns uniform, or is he going to be on the move?
I think he's going. I don't think that, I think that both the Suns and Stoudemire and his representative, I think they all know that it's probably over for him there, whether they're going to trade him, whether he's going to opt out. You know, he said yesterday that he may consider opting in. I think that's just more of a threat than anything else with Phoenix. I think what they're saying is, hey, if you don't trade me and you don't move me, well, if I opt in, now you're on the hook for the $17 million I'm owed next year. Nobody really thinks Phoenix wants to pay that. So, and, you know, does Amari want to become a free agent in 2011 when there's going to be a lockout? And when you come out of the lockout, there may be a hard salary cap. So I don't believe Amari really wants to do that either. I think he wants to get in this clash right now in 2010 and you know, roll the dice there. So there is an offer coming from the Suns in the next. It may come before the weekend, but certainly by next week, where they're going to make a formal offer, but it's not going to be the kind of money or years Amari's looking for, and I just think it's a formality that they're going to part ways. It's just a matter of whether, you know, I think Phoenix will take the best deal they have, the best offer, the trade deadline, take it right to the 11th hour, and then I think they move.
Give me another name that you think is going to move.
You know, I think a couple guys, Antoine Jamison, Troy Murphy, Cleveland wants both of those guys very much. You know, the McGrady contract in Houston is probably going to go somewhere. I think Houston's also, you know, they're asking a lot right now, and their expectations will come down as they get closer to the deadline. But there'll be, you know, I think there'll be significant movement, you know, and, you know, there's, you know, Tyrus Thomas in Chicago, Kirk Heinrich, I think, is going to move. You know, so you're seeing a team like Chicago try to clear more cap space for this summer. And Carlos Boozer. I think Carlos Boozer, there's a little bit of a tug-of-war in Utah between Jerry Sloan, who wants to just play it out with this team, see how far they can go and win, and an owner who just wants to get the money off and not have to pay any luxury tax and maybe get something in return for Boozer because they know they're going to lose him this summer.
Adrian, I don't know how many conversations or calls you've had regarding the Toronto Raptors, but I'd be interested on your take on this team in this city. And I know Jack and I have discussed them a lot lately in terms of, you know, if you want to take that next step, you know, a move is probably needed to shore up your depth that much more, or at least maybe even the the core depth. But at the same time, doing that means probably breaking up part of your existing core and knowing which is the right chip to play in order to make that move.
Well, I mean, certainly you look at the way this Toronto team is structured, and you know, you'd like to get be able to bring in somebody who could certainly help you on the defensive end and protect the basket a little bit. And you know, they give up a lot. Listen, they score a lot, they give up a lot. And so I don't know if I don't see a big move in Toronto. Obviously, we know what the big move would be if they decided to do it. But I don't have any sense that Bosch is out there, although Brian Colangelo works very quietly usually, and a lot of his big deals come out of nowhere. So if you're not hearing anything, sometimes that tells you maybe something is brewing, but my sense is they're going to ride it out with Bosch, and you know, they're in the fifth spot in the playoffs right now, fifth seed, and get in the playoffs and see what happens.
You know, Adrian, you've mentioned a number of different times, and Eric and I have chatted about it a lot, but I just want to get your take on this, because you've mentioned money a lot. And obviously, as much as, you know, the fans get all caught up into the trading of this player and that player and this guy's skill and that guy's skill, but as you well know, you're talking to GMs every day, it's as much about trading the number as it is the player and what they bring. You know, we had David Falk on here a while ago, the agent, and obviously he's coming at it from a different perspective because he represents only high-end guys. But he brought up the whole idea of, you know what, beyond like the top five, six, seven guys, the rest of the guys should be paid scale, like the movies. And I, you know, when you look at the NBA rosters, beyond the top seven guys, when you look at the bottom six to eight, depending on if they're carrying 13 to 15 players, and the amount of money teams are paying for players from spot 8 to spot 15, and you averaged it out, it's a tremendous financial commitment to guys that on most nights don't impact winning. Do you think that's going to be a bigger part of negotiations down the line, particularly with owners really looking to push back?
Well, they want to pay everybody less. You know, I agree with Falk in this way, that the great players underpaid. LeBron, Kobe, Dwayne Wade, they're underpaid with a max deal for what they are worth to the league, TV ratings. They sell out every building every night. Most of the rest of the guys are overpaid because they don't put people in seats. They are more interchangeable. And I think I do agree a fair scale would be, like, if you pay LeBron or Wade or one of those, you pay those guys $35 million, $40 million. It probably is close to what their value is a year. You're seeing now owners have become a little more restrained than GMs, like the mid-level exception in the last couple summers. Very few guys have gotten it. They used to hand that thing out like cotton candy, you know, and everybody used their mid-level exception. He ended up overpaying 5 years, $30 million. For a guy who, you know, a Jared Jeffries, a Jerome James, of course, I'm naming all contracts Isaiah gave out. But, you know, but you saw that mid-level. The last couple of years, very few guys got the full boat on that. I think Rasheed Wallace did this summer, and McDice came close to it. But teams are not overpaying for those guys anymore. And even there's questions. You look at Amare. Is he a max player? You know, and people questioning that. Is Joe Johnson a max guy? Yeah, probably, but maybe not for everybody. So, to me, a max player is, does he sell tickets and does he help you win championships? Or can you do one or the other? And I think teams are making harsher judgments on certainly the rest of the guys. And I do think in the next CBA, they are going after player salaries. They're going after length of contracts. There is a major showdown coming, and the union better be ready for it. The owners are coming to take almost everything away from them. There's no question.
Adrian, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Guys, take care. Good to talk to you.